Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host of this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special episode. We're going to be discussing Devin Allen going to the Eagles, Grant Holloway pulling out of the race in Bermuda due to the wind, Abby Steiner running some insane times super early in the season, and then Valerie Allman throwing the discus American record and the farthest throw in 30 years. If you want to hear all of that and more, please make sure to leave a like, subscribe, leave a comment. All of that really helps us know that you're enjoying the content that we're putting out here today. And let's jump into our very first topic. So, number one, Devin Allen deciding he is going to be giving up track and field in pursuit of his NFL dreams. If you want to hear a very in-depth interview about this topic, you can go and check out our last podcast. We actually had an interview with Devin Allen where he went in-depth on his decision-making, what went on to do this, and then actually signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. And so for my perspective, I'm super happy about this. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I've been a fan of them ever since I was a kid. And so to see Devin Allen, an athlete that I'm also a big fan of, going to the Eagles, it's like a win-win for me. And so he signed a three-year deal. I think it was like $720,000 a year, something like that, or $720,000. And so that's awesome, like that we're seeing this guy get a chance. And so for many people, or it was very interesting because many people do not know who Devin Allen is. Many football fans don't know who Devin Allen is. So they see this guy who hasn't played football since 2016 and really not a whole lot since 2014 coming in and getting a deal, and they're like, who the heck is this dude who hasn't played football in, you know, in 8 years coming out and playing? And so a lot of people are like, what the heck is going on here? And it's interesting because we're now obviously saying, okay, he's not just some nobody, he's not just some, you know, whoever. This is a guy who, two-time Olympian, and one of the best hurdlers and one of the fastest guys in the entire world coming out, who has a lot of good football experience. Because if you take a look at some of the other people that have gone from track and field over to football, they were okay in football for sure. Like, I mean, you had to, you know, sign those types of contracts, but they weren't to the caliber that Devin Allen is. Like, Devin Allen was a starting caliber wide receiver for Oregon when he was playing with Marcus Mariota back in the mid-2010s. And so he was a very talented wide receiver. And so I think that's what's the difference here from him compared to other athletes. And people are asking, okay, why is he doing this? Is this because he wants to get away from, you know, the challenges that are going to be coming up pretty soon with the hurdles? And no, that's not the case. This has nothing to do with the caliber of talent in the hurdles this year or for the future. He mentioned in 2016 this is something that he wants to do. He said that his goals were after the Olympics in 2020 to hopefully get an Olympic gold medal, world record, and then go to the NFL. So he had planned to do this for a long time. It's just now it's coming to fruition. And so I don't think he's getting away from anything. And if he gets those goals, I don't think he stays in track and he would have stayed in track and field either. I mean, he wanted to try his NFL dream, and he's 27 years old. He doesn't have too many years to kind of push this back, and so now it's an excellent chance to do it. And so I'm loving how what this is going to be doing for Devin Allen. And once again, if you want to hear the impact that this is having on Devin Allen and his career and everything, check out our interview. Now I want to get into what could it potentially mean for track and field as a whole? Well, I'm hoping that this does two things. So one, I hope that now high school and middle school athletes that claim they want to play in the NFL and, you know, they want to play, you know, these big name sports, professional basketball, in the NBA, whatever it is, that they notice that having a track and field background is very, very helpful. I mean, this is going to be someone that if I'm a track and field coach in high school, I'm pointing to Devin Allen's case 10 times out of 10. I'd say, look, this is a guy that competed at the highest level in track and field. And then now he's signing a 3-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles at 27 years old. So he's able to get best of both worlds. And so point out, look, if this is what he's doing, why aren't we following a very similar thing and competing in high school for track and field? It's crucial because speed kills. If you're one of the fastest guys on the field, that is going to help you regardless of the position that you're playing, whether you're quarterback, wide receiver, defensive lineman, whatever it is, it's going to help you being fast. There's never a detriment or a way that it's going to stink for being a faster player. It's always going to be positive. And so I'm wondering also, are other athletes going to see how Devin Allen does and then try this out later? Like, is this going to potentially open up the doors for more athletes to compete? Like, we've seen other track and field athletes, as we've mentioned, go over to try out football to varying levels of success. And so this is the first time that I feel it's the right time for someone to go over. Like, social media is huge right now compared to when other people are gone. Like, when Marvin Bracy was going over, like, social media wasn't really as big in the 2010s, or yeah, I guess it was, yeah, right after 2016. And so social media wasn't as big, and his background wasn't as established in football, where, you know, Devin Allen competed a lot in both regards, where Marvin Bracy didn't compete as much in football in college, just due to injuries and, you know, not having that connection with the coaching staff. And so I'm wondering, how are some of these athletes that have interest in competing in the NFL going to view what Devin Allen does and then think, hey, should I, you know, put my name in the hat and see if I could do this dang thing? Because I guarantee you there are plenty of players that are like, man, I really want to try and see if I can make it in the NFL. And I know there are people that saw Devin Allen signing and are like, man, I can do what Devin Allen does. And I bet you they're going to see if he makes the 53-man roster and if he can keep going on. And I wouldn't be too surprised if we see within the next, you know, after World Championships in 2022, or we see people in 2023 announcing like, hey, yeah, I'm gonna throw my name in the hat for the NFL draft, or I'm going to throw my name in the hat for NFL free agency and see what we can do. I think that this signing can be huge for track and field and NFL's relationship. We've seen a lot of relationships with track and field trying to get Tyreek Hill and trying to get DK Metcalf over and doing all of that stuff. And so I'm thinking, having this crossover, if it goes well and it's successful, we might see this being a new budding relationship with the NFL and track and field. So not only is this great for Devin Allen's career and is it going to establish him in a new sport and potentially be an impact player in the league, this is also huge for track and field as a whole. This gives us more relevance. This gives us a bigger name. I bet you there are people for Philadelphia Eagles that are going to be tuning into this world championship because they know that one of their guys is running in this thing. I bet you that it's going to give us more credibility. This is massive for our sport. And I hope that it works where, you know, we're going to have a new budding relationship. So these two massive brands and opportunities have a way to collaborate in the future in whatever way possible. If I were to see like, hey, what players could, or what athletes could potentially go and see what they can do in the track and field side, I mean, the name that I would think has potential to do it would be if Grant Holloway, breaks the world record and gets the world championship gold, I think there'd be potential that he'd want to do it. The big issue would be the fact that he didn't win the Olympic gold medal this past year. If he had won the Olympic gold medal in Tokyo, won the world championship, broke the world record, I would almost guarantee you that he's definitely not going to be continuing the hurdles. He would have definitely at least done like long jump. But I would think if he had done all of that, I wouldn't have been surprised if he sees this, what Devin Allen's doing, and is like, yeah, let me try out the NFL, because he was a four-star recruit coming out of high school for football, and so I wouldn't have been surprised just if he was like, "Yeah, let's give this a whirl. Let's see how this is gonna go." And so I don't know. I'm not sure if we're gonna see any athletes go yet, but it really depends on how Devin Allen does. If he does well, we might see this be a new great relationship, but we'll have to see. And so that's going to actually transition us right into our next topic, and that is we're talking about Grant Holloway. And so it's not a time that he ran, but it is a time that he didn't run. So this past weekend, we had track meet in Bermuda. And so at Bermuda, it was the Bermuda Games, there was a ton of wind. It was at times a -5.8, I think it was, which is like a 9 mile an hour headwind for these athletes. And Grant Holloway was tweeting, like, we've got to switch the racing. Like, think about the athletes. Don't just think about the fans. And then he mentions it again. Hey, flip the race. Don't just think about the fans. Think about the athletes. And then, before the race actually happens, he pulls out of the race, and he does an interview where he says, the wind is out of control at a high of 4.6 meters per second. I don't think this is a great hurdle. This is a great hurdle event. I'm trying to do consistency as the main cue for this season. So I decided to pull out of this race. And so let's discuss him pulling out of this race from both the athlete's perspective and from the fan's perspective. Because I think each person, obviously, would have a different reaction to this thing. So from Grant Holloway's perspective as an athlete, it doesn't make sense for him to compete in this race because he's looking at a 9 mile an hour headwind, and what he's trying to do this year is break a world record. He is trying to do things that no one has ever done in the history of the world. He's trying to do it. And when you want to do something that no one has ever done before, you have to do things that no one has ever done before. And that is be extraordinarily consistent. If we look at Aries Merritt and what he did when he broke the world record in 2012, he was extraordinarily consistent. He never competed in headwinds of 9 miles an hour. He was very, very locked in, running times on like 13.1, 12.9. He was doing that a lot and very consistently. Do we think, from an athlete's perspective, running into 9 mile an hour headwind, is that going to help his consistency? Absolutely not. There's different ways that you have to run this. And for him, it doesn't make sense to risk that consistency and losing out on potential that is down the line to break a world record, because it's like, yeah, sure, it's just one race, but it's going to mess up the cues and can mess up your headspace for future races, and it's just not worth it from an athlete's perspective. Okay, and so that's what I'm sure Grant Holloway was thinking, because it makes sense. Like, that's that, I get that from an athlete. From a fan, so I would be very upset if I was at this meet. So if I were running here and I saw, well, for a couple things for fans, if I was a fan and I bought my ticket early, I would be very upset with what just happened with this meet, because the storyline that we're getting here is Grant Holloway pulling out of the Bermuda Games, but that's not even the main, you know, the main thing. Look at all of the headliners that were supposed to compete at this race. Almost all of them pulled out. It's just that Grant Holloway did it at the race, and that's the reason that he's getting some of this flack. Like, look, other people that pulled out, Sha'Carri Richardson, the biggest name that was supposed to run in this. Her name was on the headline for the entire thing until about 2 days before this race. Kenny Bednarik pulled out. Marvin Bracy pulled out. So we got a lot of people that just pulled out of this race. That's just a few people to name. And so it's like, sure, we had Grant Holloway come out at the last second, but all these other people are coming out. And so if I'm a fan, I'm extremely upset with the way that this Bermuda meet was run. One, we got a race into a headwind, so we saw just terrible times. Like, nothing, none of this was really good. We get a lot of the biggest names pulled out of the race. And so that, from a fan's perspective, I'm upset with the way it's run. And with the Grant Holloway thing, I'd be like, I'd be upset as well, because it's like, look, all these other people are racing and competing. Why aren't you doing it? And so I wouldn't be too big of a fan of it. And I can understand why they didn't flip everything over, because it takes a lot of time to be able to flip those cameras over and measure out the lines and everything, because it's not just as easy as moving a camera and moving it to the other way. And you have a very tight window when it comes to this TV stuff. Like, if this was a regular college meet, like, sure, they can do that, like, push it out, no problem. But with it being on national television, don't really have that opportunity to just pick it up and move it, because it probably takes I don't know exactly how long it is, but I bet you it takes forever to move that stuff and get it all ready to go logistically, especially because, you know, this is the 110s and versus the 100s and blah, blah, blah. So from a fan, I'd be like, come on, man, these other people are running. Why aren't you running? From an athlete's perspective, I get it, because it's like, dude, why am I going to run in some random no-name meet in the beginning of the year that doesn't mean anything, that could have massive impacts later down the line on if I'm going to be able to run a world record, which is what everyone really wants to see. Like, as a person that didn't go to the meet, if you're like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He didn't go, and the thing that he wants to do is to break world records. I get it. But as a fan, I'd be like, dude, like, come on. I bought my ticket to go to this race. You're the headliner here, because all the other headliners pulled out, except for, what, Noah Lyles and Johan Blake, and you're the only guy that's left. And now it's like, you're gone too? I'd be like, dude, this freaking sucks. But hey, that's what life is, and I hope that he does well later on in the year. This just goes to show, regular season for track and field don't mean diddly squat when you have the biggest name in track and field saying, yeah, I think I'm good on that. Next, want to talk about another track meet that had a wild amount of wind, and that is the LSU meet, and Abby Steiner in particular. So Abby Steiner has one of the best weekends in track and field in a long time, probably one of the best weekends of her entire career. She runs a 10.92 in the 100, which is the world lead, new PR, and it would have been the fifth fastest time in the U.S. last season. And this is April, beginning of April. And then she runs a 22.38 in the 200, which is a world lead. But not only that, she was running into a 5.6 meter per second headwind, which is a 9 mile an hour headwind. And so when you adjust it, that's pretty much like, what, like a 22 flat almost, maybe pretty close to like a 21 something when you adjust the wind. And so she is flying. She's having a phenomenal year. She's obviously going to be the front runner for the Bowerman this year, because she's just putting together an immaculate season. And so this is now going to lend the question, what is for the future of Abby Steiner? So it's looking like obviously she's going to have a really good 100. I mean, her feet were turning over really well. So she has a lot of time that she can easily cut off, it looks like, in this race, because her turnover was really good. She mentioned that she wanted to improve her 100 so she could then improve her 200. She needed a little bit more speed, and I get that. It's showing. And so, I mean, she's got potential for, you know, dropping into the 10.8s, obviously, maybe even a high 10.7. She's got some really good speed, and she's obviously going to be running sub 22 in the 200 very, very soon here. She showed that with her indoor national record. And so the main question is, can she make a world team? And so it's difficult. Like, when you look at the history, not many college sprinters make world teams, because your sprinting career in college is so much longer than everyone else for the sprints. Like, an average college sprinter is going to be running every single weekend, except for maybe two or three, but essentially every single weekend from January until June. You're running pretty much every weekend in track meets, and you're going to most likely be doing multiple events. Like, you see Abby's doing the 100, the 200, she's going to be anchoring the 4x4. She got a lot of mileage on those legs. For pros, you may only run 3, 4, or 5 times before you get to USA's. And not only that, you're also only going to be competing in one or maybe two events at each of those meets. So you're going to have a lot less mileage on your legs. And so by the time you get to USA's, sure, Abby's PR is going to be better than many of these athletes that are going to be lining up against her at USA's. The thing is, will she still have the energy to be able to continue and, you know, compete at a very high level? Because sure, Tiana Daniels back in 2019 made the US team while she was still in college at Texas. That's right. She did that. It doesn't happen very often. You do not get many sprinters that make world teams because it's so difficult in the sprinting event because you're running so often and you're running at such high speeds. It just tears up the body. And so I hope that she's able to make the team. I mean, she's starting to show that she should. I mean, she's been the world leader in, you know, the 200 as well as the 100 and now the 200 again outdoors multiple times. So she's showing that she has potential and that she can be a threat. But it's going to come down to how many times is she going to be running in between now and USA's? Will there be a couple meets here where she just doesn't compete because they want to save the legs? Or is she going to continue doing the college thing and sprinting a lot? We're going to have to find out about that. But awesome weekend for her. Really looking forward to seeing what she's going to be doing in the future here. And then next, which is going to be our final story of the day, Valerie Almond, she puts together one of the best performances or the best performance we've seen in 30 years for the women's discus. She threw 71.46 meters, which is the American record. She's been on fire, not just this past year, but just her entire last 4 years. She has PR'd every single year in the last 4 years. And so she went from 4 years ago throwing 67 meters to right now throwing 61 meters. So almost a meter a year is what she's going to be doing right now. And she's got some real talent, right now. What stinks is like, oh, people are probably thinking you're doing this as the American record. You can go and get the world record. Well, the world record for the women's discus is insane. It is crazy what the world record is for discus. I think it's, what, 76 meters? So she's going to have to throw a lot farther in order to do it. And sure, I don't want to be the guy that's going to, you know, rain on your parade and say you can't do it. But it's a lot that you've got to improve from the American record to the discus. I mean, look, it shows, like, you're the best in 30 years and you're still not even close to the world record, because these world records for the women's discus are absolutely unbelievable. But she is someone that is crazy, crazy good athletic. She's my favorite, obviously, to win the world championships coming to Oregon in 2022. She's just very, very consistent with the way that she throws, and exciting. For if you're not interested in the throwing events, definitely tune in whenever you see Valerie Almond. She's very, very good for sure. But that's going to do it for us here with Track World News. Hopefully that you enjoyed this episode. Tell us what you think. Do you think Devin Allen, is he going to make it as a Philadelphia Eagle, or is he not? Is it not going to work out? Grant Holloway, what are your thoughts on him pulling out in the Bermuda race? Abby Steiner, is she going to be the next American great sprinter? And then Valerie Almond, do you think she has does she have an opportunity to break the world record? Am I wrong? Let us know. But that's going to do it for us here. Have a good one.